You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.
Since it's casual, I'm going to make coffee while we're talking.
We got Les Stroud on the show. Thanks for being on Radiant Creators. And we're going to do a little catch up. I just want to mention the first show we did, we got so much feedback that people were truly inspired by that. And one thing that really spoke to people was that they heard about your struggles and that you, were oftentimes kind of living a bit of a poverty lifestyle, but you kept showing up. And that was actually the line that really spoke to people, that you kept showing up, you kept working at it, and you didn't give up. And so really that inspired, we got the most heartfelt messages from people saying that, wow, that line, you know, just show up, it just became like a mantra for them, and people just kept showing up. Thanks to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting that that's what was pulled out of things, because you do hear it's we run the risk when we discuss the type of things you and I discuss of invoking cliches and the idea of persevering and just saying, just persevere, can start to sound like a cliche. But I've learned that a lot of times there's a reason why certain things become cliches, just because they're real, they work, they stick. A cliche can be, something corny and distasteful, but a cliche also is lasting because it's true. And the concept of persevering to get to a place of success is a cliche that will not go away, because it's absolutely a way to be that is hard to deny in terms of eventually having success. Now, interestingly enough, I say that, and people might be like thinking in their minds, well, I persevered and it didn't work out for me. We have to be pretty darn honest with ourselves, almost wanting to kind of come out, well, did you really persevere? Really? Did you? It's like that, right? Or did you push back once or twice and then give up and call it perseverance? I think perseverance, I have no idea what the actual definition is, but maybe in the end, perseverance means never, ever stopping going towards what you want. And if anybody's a poster boy for that, it's me. I mean, I'm 57 years old and I'm still pushing the dream I had when I was 14, which is that of musical creation and getting my music out to a larger audience. So that's a long line of, that's a lot of persevering, let me tell you, to get to this age.
Oh, it definitely is. And we're going to talk about your new album, of course, but I was watching a video that you were in recently, and I'll link to it in the show notes, and you talked about something that I think people may find inspiring also, who found Just Show Up inspiring and perseverance inspiring, was you talked about the joy of completion. Mm-hmm. It's something that you've realized. And I wonder if we could touch on that, because you mentioned that Snowshoes and Solitude, one of your first, I guess, creations, it took 5 years to complete. And when you completed it, you had this kind of enlightening moment where you realized the joy of completion, and you turn into somebody who you kind of metamorphosized into somebody who, maybe, did you break a threshold? Now you're a person who wants to complete.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be summarized in a more, blunt expression of just finish what you started. And that's you might kind of want to place that issue in amongst the youth and the young, but it's not true. There are plenty of adults over the age of 40, 50, and 60 who are not finishing what they started, who, as we would say, talk a good one. And I think that's what I had learned at the time, was to stop talking a good one and to finish. It's really easy to talk, especially after a beer or two. It's really easy to brag, especially when nobody can really check up on what you're bragging about. But to actually finish what you started is not easy. And so it requires, you know, that perseverance. And that is absolutely something that's become very central to my life. And I would suggest not just professionally, but personally too, to finish what you start. Now, that doesn't, you still can allow for giving up on something. So let's say you start something, but you realize with really, you know, solid meditative sort of thoughts, you really get into it and you realize, you know, I tried really hard on this, but I don't want to do this anymore. I just don't want to. It's really out. It's not because I'm quitting because I couldn't get my way. It's not because I just don't know what to do. I'm really just not interested. I thought I'd be interested in this, and I started, but I'm not. That's when it's okay to stop, quit, give up, just say, no, I'm done. You know, you're making a decision, you know, of not finishing what you started because it's better for you to move on to something else. So there's always these qualifications in, again, another seemingly cliche way of thinking your way through life, you know, persevere and finish what you start.
Yeah, creativity can kind of be like a labyrinth where you go down a lot of paths and oftentimes you just turn around. That path wasn't for you. It wasn't right. And yeah. I would say one thing I was going to ask you about is exactly what you just went into is, what happens when we get in a rut, when our passions, when our desire, our perseverance, we're just pouring all of our effort into a creative endeavor and you just get stuck in a rut and you just get drained. And the more energy you put into it, the more of a hole you fall into. It sounds like, do you have a way of evaluating that? And I guess it's what you just said basically is if it's not right, it's not right. That's not really not persevering.
Well, something being not right and being caught in a rut are two different things.
Yeah, can we define those? Because I have a hard time knowing the difference.
Yeah, and the short, blunt part of me wants to kind of quickly answer, you know, suck it up, buttercup. You know, it's a rut. I've never looked at any blockage as a closed door or a block. I've only ever considered them speed bumps. And some of them I have to crawl under to get past them. So under, around, over, you know, a hurdle is a hurdle. It's not, a hurdle is not a cement wall. And we confuse hurdles with getting stuck in a rut. But what do you do if you get, you know, I'll go a little bit analogous here. What do you do if you get stuck in a rut with your car? Walk away crying? No, you find a way to get the car literally, you know, out of the rut. That's, you know, so we use these stuck in a rut. Now let's not pretend like I don't get stuck in ruts. I'm coming off of a very strange period. I don't remember when I spoke to you last time, but how long ago that was. But you know, I'm coming out of a very strange 24 month period, 2 years. Very strange 2 years of, you know, kind of not on the mark, not like Yahoo, here I go, you know. The first year was a self-imposed sabbatical, so kind of knew what was going on there. The second year, I ended up doing a production that though it paid me very well, it was a disaster. So that made things confusing because it was misleading. And I'm only really kind of coming out of a bit of a rut even now. But the thing is, I'm coming out of it. So I'm in that rut, you know, and I'm the wheel spinning in the rut. And you know, for it took a long time to figure out, okay, do I need to chain, pull this thing out with a chain? Do I need to get a whole bunch of people to help push it out? If I just keep spinning, will it eventually get traction and climb out? You know, I'm being really silly in my analogies here, but they do work, you know. And I think... See, here's the thing. You asked the difference between getting stuck in a rut and an actual block.
Well, know? Getting stuck in a rut and a block, and then also just realizing when something isn't right. Like you're not quitting. It just played itself out, and it's not right.
Well, you've got to use your instinct for that. You have to invoke the use of instincts to figure out if something isn't right. And how do you do that? You know, what I usually say is, look, if you're in this situation and you have to kind of really sink into your whole system and just, you've got three potential outcomes, or maybe just one outcome, but you're just not sure if you should do it. You have to put yourself in that outcome mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Just sit down and really put yourself in that outcome. Now, if your body and you feel a little itchy, I don't know, man, if you feel like that, versus if you feel just blank, it's kind of nothing, versus if your body and everything about you just kind of relaxes and you feel calm. So, and I'm all speak, this all happens in the course of a minute, right? Then, well, if it's the itchy one, that's probably your instinct telling you, you know, that's not really what you want to do. Yeah, I know the money's good. Yes, your friends are saying you should do that too. Oh, I know your family would be happier. Oh, I know it's a lot easier. But your body and your mind and soul are cinching up saying, yeah, but is it you? Do you really want that? And when that happens, that's when you know it doesn't matter about all the external superfluous, you know, influences. Reality is, no, this isn't right for me. And you know what? We all do. We all in the end go like, yeah, no, I know I probably shouldn't really do that, but oh, it tastes so good. That's maybe one of the ways we fall into addictions. You know, I mean, you usually know before. And so if you've determined that it's not for you, then that's the time to stop. But if conversely, you're like, oh, you know, I still feel this. And conversely, everybody's against it. Nobody thinks it's the right thing I should do. It's more expensive. I'm going to lose money. It's uncomfortable. But I'm just compelled. Then no, that's what you should be doing. And at the moment, you're in a rut. So now, find all the ways out of the ruts, you know. And some of it might be stop listening to the guy who says you need to buy new tires. He's not helping you, you know. And stop listening to, stop being upset by the fact that you're going to get wet and cold and muddy if you're going to get down in there and put some blocks under the wheel. You got to get wet and cold and muddy and do it because you know that'll get you out of this rut. And so that, I'm again being very analogous and full of analogies here in a silly way, but I think that's the way. You use your instinct to determine, and once you've determined, you use every process you can to get out of that rut.
Yeah, I find that feeling if something is correct or not, like have I lost interest in it or am I just giving up? Really, the right action tends to me feel like relief or at least excitement when you ponder, should I continue or should I not? Oh, that feels really good. That feels so, that feels good. Okay. You know, it's probably wrong. Yeah. So to me, relief is kind of a good signpost. Where is that signpost for relief? Which path has relief, that signpost on it? Okay. Well, last time we talked, we did mention, one of your daily mantras, or really how you start the day, is you say, whatever I do today, let it affect somebody in a positive way. Let it bring about a positive influence in their life and inspire them. And I'm just wondering, are you still doing that every morning? And I found that there's actually a Sanskrit mantra that's really popular. I didn't know it. And it sounds so similar. I just wonder if you've ever heard it. The short version is, may all beings everywhere be happy and free. And the slightly longer version is, may all beings everywhere be happy and free, and may the thoughts, words, and actions of my own life contribute in some way to the happiness and to that freedom for all. Anyway, just, are you still starting the day with setting forth that intention? Has it changed at all?
Well, here's the interesting thing. I find that as I manifest that, I do that less and less. But as I stop or slow down manifesting that, I start to do it more and more again. So is that just like, you know, like the version of only praying to God when things are bad and forgetting to say, when things are good? It's kind of, yeah. But hey, man, life is a flow. And you go with certain things. And if I'm busy, full of fun energy and enjoying my life, no, I don't remember to get up in the morning and rededicate. And sometimes, but I think when I'm in the flow of something strong and creative, versus riding the train, then yes, I usually intellectually remember to do it because I want that focus. But the other little missing piece that, like, I did this just yesterday. So I did that yesterday and I added to it, and I added to it because I'm in a place in my life that's similar to where I was long before Survivor Man. And that is, I seek universal guidance in how to make sure that I'm making the right decisions, going down the right roads, taking the right steps, talking to the right people. So who am I invoking? Are you praying to God? Are you, you know, are you You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I just do it. And it makes my psyche relax a little. So I'll just do it. And I'm in essence doing it to the universe, not because of Christian scripts, not because of the teachings of the secret, not because of the teachings of the Quran, not because of Buddhist ways, not because of yoga no, not at all, not at all. Just because it's what I feel helps me to get focused back in. It's kind of like, in a way, gambling. It's, you know, it's like, well, just in case the universe actually listens to us, I'm going to put this out there. Now, the twist to all of this is, you know, darn it if it hasn't been working for the past 20 years, you know what I mean? So I'm not here to promote a certain kind of, you know, I certainly am not a religious person by any stretch. And I have, you know, I have bones to pick with religiosity, but spirituality, you know, is always hovering there for me. And this is, I suppose what I'm doing is trying to invoke that connectivity spiritually into practical living.
Oh yeah. I know in the mornings I like to get up early and I'll do my meditation, which is very similar to what you're doing. And I'll go through it and I'll kind of meter how I feel. And I'm like, well, did I really believe that? No, better do it again. Okay. Do it again. Yeah. Was I really there? Or was I distracted? Yeah, I was distracted. Okay. All right. Oh, this time I really mean it. Okay. It's almost like you're tuning your own energy how you want it to be that day. And that's really kind of opens those doors, I find for myself, is that I can oftentimes see in the morning, I can feel my resistance to that, to what my intention, to what my life's mission is. If I reaffirm it in the morning, you know, you can feel it like, oh, I woke up and I'm in alignment with it. It was fun to do that meditation. But if I went, oh man, that was walking on broken glass. So I'll try to, I wouldn't say force is not the right word, but if I have to do it a few times to get in that vibe that I want to be in, I'll just do it. And then sometimes I got to give up and I go, you know what? Today I'm not connected, but it's a great gauge.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really fight that fight when I do it so much, to bring myself in line. And over the years, you know, in reading, you know, dozens of motivational books and business books and self-help books, there's, you know, for example, there's always one thing that is a consistent thing that's there in so many of them. And that's the concept of official journaling, keeping a journal, and often the concept of official meditative perspective. Well, I've learned in my life, it doesn't work for me. I have tried many times to keep a journal to the point where I realized, I don't care. I'm doing what I want to do, and the journals have never helped me, and I hate them. So I realized, that's not for me. So I don't do that. On the meditative side, I believe that the meditative process will happen to me naturally just by walking my dog in my local forest. And so I don't try any Buddhist techniques or any specific techniques at all, because once again, as I've gone down those roads, it starts to feel like school to me. And I hated school. And when things start to feel like school, I may try them at first, but I will always either shy away right in the beginning or I'll just get upset with it. So that happened in meditative. So instead, I just keep that meditative thing really short and simple. And then I don't chastise myself on the fact that it's short and simple. It's like, you know, let me go there for a second. It's like years ago as a seeker, being at Bible study or prayer meetings, there's always that little ego flare of whomever in our Bible study prayed a little longer or with more gusto or actually cried, it's probably more pious and more connected to Jesus than the rest of us. And, you know, that sort of stuff rolls around in the spiritual life as you're seeking. And so I'm not going to do, and I know, it's like, no, this is no. And so in my own personal life now and in the meditative perspective, I don't chastise myself because my thank you to the universe, and I have the six things I thank the universe for every year, every day, or my requesting of guidance happens to be short today because I got a phone call, because I got to get on the line with Craig from Radiant Creators, and I'm in a hurry. You know, back and forthing with what you were saying, you know, you might go through. I'm saying I don't fight that fight with my, I know I'm honest about my desires. So if I speak them quickly because I'm in a hurry, so be it. Other times I may relax and it may take me 20 minutes to get it out while I watch a sparrow.
I like that. Well, I kind of figure at this point, if the universe doesn't get what I'm after, then, well, I mean, the universe knows. You said it yesterday. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that you're not good at, or more, better put, you don't like journaling. Well, I mean, what was Survivor Man and Beyond Survival? I mean, you journaled quite a lot, just not on paper. You know, you're probably one of the world's greatest journalers, actually.
I journaled with what I was familiar with, what was comfortable to me, which were words spoken and visuals witnessed. And that was a lot more comfortable than writing down in a leather bound my journal. And I'm not cutting that up. If that works for you, fantastic. Because I've seen lots of people try to do it on camera and they suck. So, you know, it's what's going to work for you.
Definitely. So definitely have to get to the new album. So you have a new album that's coming out, Mother Earth, and there's two singles out already. And those singles are One Giant Farm and Ancient's Call. So One Giant Farm is really an epic undertaking. The video, and of course also the music. And something that really spoke to me about your video is that it is hard to watch, but people need to watch it. It really needs to be watched because people are... Something I notice in the world is that many people are disconnected from their body, mind, and spirit, and earth. People are very, very disconnected. And when they watch something like a One Giant Farm, it's good to reconnect. I mean, we should be upset. It should be painful. But it's not hopeless. There's action to be taken. And so it's quite an emotional ride that you create, where many people are seeing the environmental devastation, mostly to the whales and the dolphins in that video. It might be the first time they've ever heard of it or known about it. And it's very shocking. But yet as you go through, it becomes inspiring. And at the end, people go, well, here's what I could do. And something I like about it is that it's tangible. Here's some tangible actions people can take. Because one thing that always kind of bothers me is when people simply virtue signal. I don't really like that so much. I am much more of a facts and figures guy. Tell me, you know, be more exact. And so what I like about that, your video, is that here are some things that are happening and here are people that are doing things about it. You should be aware, you should feel, you shouldn't be okay with this. And now here's how you can help, you know? And one of the things you mentioned, there was a video, Les's intro to One Giant Farm. And you said this is one of my favorite parts of the whole thing. He said, it's important that people see this video because it makes that connection between our easy to make claims of loving the earth, the planet, and wild creatures, and or verse what we know about what is going on out there. You know, it is hard to watch, but in the end, the reality is we are the solution. So anyway, I just talked a lot about it, but how do you feel about that video and that song now that it's out?
Well, it's been interesting. Behind the scenes information here is that I work with you know, my management and people like that, you know, about getting it out. And in fact, I'm looking to kind of revitalize the reason for putting this out in the first place. The proceeds don't go to me. The proceeds go to the charities that are working very hard to protect creatures of this planet. I'm really in the middle of a trilogy of albums, Mother Earth being the middle one, that Mike Klink is producing. He's a Grammy Award winning producer, and he's only working with me because of the message. Slash only played on that song because of the message. Steve Vai plays on a song because of the message. So what's the message? Well, my message and my style of personality let me put it this way. When Greta spoke the other day at the UN on her environmental speech, and she started with, "How dare you?" I was like, yes. Because I'm very, when the timing is right, I'm certainly better at it these days in terms of being diplomatic and articulate about it. But when the timing is right, I prefer blunt. I prefer facts and reality. I would play that song in concert and show the video. And I would say, now's a good time to go get a coffee if you're sensitive. I hope you don't, but I won't be insulted if you do. And nobody would go. And at the end of the concert, even, you know, senior citizens would come up to me and say, you know, like sweet little old lady kind of imagery. You know, that was a very difficult video to watch, but we needed to see it. And I'm glad you showed it. Please keep showing it. So the idea here is that I've created, in essence, a trilogy of albums with the apex being this Mother Earth album to speak my mind about what I've seen, to say things that are hard to say but should be said, to show imagery in the videos that are hard to watch but you need to see it. You know, to this day, even my son will say, he's got best friends who'll go, "Oh, that's not going on." And he'll go, "Dude, yeah, it is. No." And we're talking about something that should be widespread knowledge, like, say, the devastation of sharks by finning or the devastation of the ocean by plastic pollution. So I'm not one to be accused of pulling his punches. And that video should certainly attest to that. You know, Slash with me plays a guitar solo on that. He watched the video with me and he said, "Les, this is the only reason I'm doing this. Because you have to put this video out or I don't want to do this. I want people to see this." So they understand what? They understand what it looks like to fin a shark ruthlessly. What it looks like to harvest whales illegally, pull them out of the ocean. To what it looks like, you know, clear cut. These things, and I don't want people to be desensitized by seeing the images too much and so on, but if they're just shocked enough, not that my intention is to shock and awe, but if then they're just shocked enough to move to action, look, in the end, Craig, it doesn't matter if I reach 20 million people with this message, if only one person does something significant like Greta is doing in her campaign because of watching the One Giant Farm video, or listening to the lyrics of the new song that's about to come out called Life on Earth, then in essence, I've done my job. I've tried to influence in a way that provokes action that is to the betterment of our natural world, which is what I'm mostly and so passionate about. But I'm not we're all going to hell in a handbasket guy. I am not a glasses half empty guy. Our big minds and our big machines made this mess. So our big minds and our big machines can fix this mess. The Potomac River is healthier now than it was in 1950. The air in New York is healthier now than it was in 1947. The great forests of the Northeast have all grown back and they're 200 years old now. They were all leveled. Now they're back. So we can look at putting wolves in Yellowstone Park, completely revitalized an entire ecosystem like that. And that wasn't even such a big deal. That's a couple of wolves put in some cages, a few biologists brought down, let go. And a couple of years later, the ecosystem is rendered intact and healthy because of that action. So we can do this. We can fix this. I've got lots of environmental friends that are like, "We are screwed." Well, in some respects, sure. But we can fix it all. What do we do with all this plastic? I don't know. I ain't an engineer, but we'll figure it out. So One Giant Farm, the video, yeah, That was meant to make an impact. So now what I'm saying is, you know what? Look, this isn't about Spotify listens. This isn't about Les being a rock star or establishing Les as a musician. I'm 57 years old. I've got my career. I've seen the world. I've done it. This is about the message.
Well, I like the message in that video or that song because for me, it's tangible, it's direct, and it's ultimately inspiring because it's actionable. We can fix it. And I think it maybe helps people realize that to get newsletters, you know, email newsletters or paper ones, and also, you know, to make monthly donations. I mean, all these organizations that you listed, Dolphin Project, Sharkwater, the Sea Shepherd, all those, you can set up monthly donations. And I think sometimes people forget, they feel helpless that, you know what, get on those organizations' mailing lists, learn what's going on. Oftentimes they literally can send you emails that say, click here to take political action to let people know, you know.
And let me just interrupt you, Craig, and say that the reason why those particular agencies and some others is because I'm a man of action. And so I value agencies that are agencies of action and take action. The Sea Shepherd certainly takes action. Dolphin Project certainly takes action. Sharkwater has taken, you know, before we lost Rob Stewart, he took a great many actions and now is very much about education. So I support those. And the thing is, I said this the other night, I spoke at the Riverkeeper Gala up in Vancouver in Canada. And I said, you know, the reason why we're here to support Mark Mattson and the Riverkeeper organization to make these, to get a movement growing that demands swimmable, drinkable, fishable waters is because he and Sharkwater, and Rob Stewartson did, Rick O'Berry Dolphin Project, Paul Watson Sea Shepherd, they and many others will do what we can't or won't do. I've been on the Sea Shepherd, one of the Sea Shepherd boats. How many of us are ready to go and spend 3 months on a boat stopping poachers? Exactly. So they're doing it. So these organizations can and will do what we can't and won't.
Yeah, it definitely helps to fund them and to you know, raise awareness about what they're doing. Well, and you mentioned that it's not hopeless when it comes to the environment. And I think something that I always encourage people to do is for your state, whichever state you're in or whatever state you have interest, get on the Fish and Game mailing list. You'd be amazed at how much good stuff is happening. Like here in Arizona, also, you can get involved. There's not a weekend that I can't be out helping to get water to the antelope, that you can't be fixing escapements, that you can't be... So if you just want to know what good is happening in my state, get on the Fish and Game mailing list. And also with that, you will have opportunities. You can go volunteer to literally roll up your sleeves and get into it. Like here in Arizona, we're always cleaning up out in the desert barbed wire. There's just tons of old barbed wire fences, long time forgotten. They kill more animals than people have any idea. And, you know, I guarantee if you want to help the environment, you know, come to Arizona and clean up barbed wire. So there's so many things that we can literally do if we just desire a little bit more awareness. Like you mentioned, you know, stop living blindly, I think is one of the first lyrics in that song. And really, you know, it's not hopeless. Get to it. And I really thought that I felt, this is my little intuition, I kind of felt Otto Leopold was sort of watching that video. I have a feeling that the spirit of Otto Leopold, the guy who wrote Saint County Almanac, was aware of what was going on. I think he checked in and helped because...
Well, let me interject and say... Well, no, say...
Oh, I was going to say that there's this quote that came to mind that I thought he was just whispering it throughout the song. I really did. And he was saying, "We abuse the land because we see it as a commodity belonging to us. When we see the land as a community to which we belong, we may begin to use it with love and respect." And I kind of thought he was, yeah. I think he was there.
Well, first of all, I've been inside Aldo Leopold's cabin. I did a talk for the Aldo Leopold, I guess, I don't know what you call it, society, but the area where they have his cabin and his legacy, and certainly read Sand County Almanac. And that's exactly right. You know, we cannot sound like William Shatner right now. We cannot position ourselves as it, like as it, humans and everything else. No, you know, and that has been our biggest problem. We're all focused on us all the time, all the way through this. And we just simply can't. The focus has to be on every living being, every geographical feature, every hydrological feature, everything to do with air and so on. That's vital, but that's also abstract and difficult to grasp, which is why I bring it back down to, okay, you mentioned the different organizations, like for example, Riverkeeper. There are riverkeepers all over North America. I know there's one here for the Rogue River in Oregon, where I am right now. And I just came back from Vancouver for the Fraser Riverkeeper, and work with them in Toronto and Ontario. So riverkeepers exist everywhere. And before I run out of time with you, like I would love to do something with you, Craig, because I haven't done this yet, and I love speaking with you all the time, and I'm grateful to be on for the album that we're talking about from Mother Earth. And first of all, let's try to get people to go and do the clicks, do the plays, check out One Giant Farm and Ancients Call. That video will be out soon. And the new song, Life on Earth, has already been covered by somebody. They did a cover on it. It was incredible. And it isn't even released yet. But I want to create something. I want to start something I'm going to probably call the Survivor Man Challenge. And I've never really put it out there just yet. But you know how you have an organization that goes and cleans up the barbed wire in Arizona or the river banks or whatever? A lot of times they end up with all these piles of garbage and they'll take a photograph of it. And then they might take the plastics to recycling and the garbage to the garbage, or all of it goes to the dump or whatever the reality is. I'd like to add a twist to that. When you do that in a valley, or a riverbank, or a park, or whatever. Once you're all there, and you're a whole bunch of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, or some outers club, or whatever, and you've got it all together, go the extra step, though much of it will be unrecognizable, but go the extra step of determining by percentage what corporations are responsible for that garbage. So you can look at a pile and go, 38% of this garbage belongs to the Coke Corporation. 27% belongs to Monsanto. Whomever, I'm naming a couple of obvious villains in the role here. But do that, because we will then also start to create a database. And all of a sudden you're looking, you put that database together and say, well, there was 450 cleanups in North America last year. The stats have come in. And here's who's responsible for creating, at least on the front end, the garbage that we picked up. Now, is that corporate shaming? You're darn right it is. But to me, I want to call that the Survivor Man Challenge. And I've never mentioned that publicly before this interview with you, Craig, but I'd love to begin to get it bubbling under now. By now I've said it, and I've said it to you. So that's putting the energy out there on and putting it on me. But I'd like to do that moving forward. And I'm thanking you for the opportunity to have sat there and listened while I put that out there.
I like the idea. That is perfect. Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm game. I'm involved. Let's make it happen.
I've got a minute or two and then I've got
And you got to get going. So I'm glad. So I'm going to think about that and we'll continue that conversation. So in Ancients Call, the next song on the album that the single's recently out, there's a great lyric and it's the whole earth bleeds, people cry, but the earth can heal. So can I. And that's very, a very elegant line in Ancients Call. And something I realized when I was listening to Ancients Call and listening to some of the background music in it, I really heard this.
Yeah, you nailed that.
This book was present. And one thing about completing what you start, in the back of this book, I know we're on to Ancients Call now, but as we wrap up, there's the lyrics for One Giant Farm.
Wow.
And this book came out a little while ago. So you can see where, you know, Les has been working on this. This didn't, like, One Giant Farm just didn't happen. This has been an evolution.
Even in the book. And the truth is I've been working on the Mother Earth album for 10 years. And yeah, there's been a lot of times of frustration, but finish what you start, right? And I came to the point where it's like, I want this, I want to get this out there. Come what may, I need it to be out there now. Well, now look at what's going on with the politics and the environment and everything that's happening. It couldn't have been more timely. But that's not me in marketing. That's not me in planning. It's just me saying I need to get, the energy is right and I need to get this out. And it's taken 10 years to get to this place.
Yeah, 10 years to be an overnight success.
I would say, exactly.
Divine timing helps us out.
I do have to jump off, Craig, but I always love these conversations, and I'm grateful that this conversation revolved around the Mother Earth album. I got a new children's book coming out, a new podcast coming out, and a new series out coming out called Wild Harvest that your friend and mine, Pascal Bédard, will be, I think, quite interested in. It's right up that alley. We have lots more to talk about, you and I.
Yeah.
But I do need to cut this interview short because of a call that I have to get on. So I would like to leave you with it, with you know, it, in supporting the Mother Earth album, it's all about focusing on getting the knowledge out about our environment and protecting this planet. That's what that is for. I'm not going to take the proceeds from it. I'm going to redirect everything I can into those initiatives.
Well, thanks so much, Les Trout, for being on the show. We'll just get another one scheduled out a little ways, and we'll catch up on all the things we didn't get a chance to talk about. And I welcome you to the world of podcasting now that you're doing one. You're part of the elite crew. I'm glad to see you show up.
we'll do a joint podcast trade-off.
That'd be amazing.
kind of thing.
Right. Well, take care.
I don't know if you're able to attach or include the soon-to-come-out Ancients Call video. You're going to like that. The One Giant Farm video and the songs, or if you do it by links, but please do.
Attach them? I can do that at the end. Okay, so people, watch this.
This earth